And also, yeah, the survey for the staff and the members of EMS is a good idea. We'd have to work on, if you have any, of course, there's some questions that can be not open-ended, but some of them, will be open-ended. So, we'd have to get a survey that will elicit responses from them that we could really see what they're feeling and what their views are.
I totally agree with Pam that you need a decision as soon as possible. I think there's separate things going on. There's the decision you make, and then there's when that decision is effective. And I think that they don't necessarily have to align at the same time. So I think we could very legitimately say, here's the situation in which we would proceed with integration. And if this situation is met, these milestones are met, then we will integrate. And if not, then we won't. And it needs to be resolved by this date. If they're, I don't know that can we do better than that? Maybe. I mean, maybe we can fully resolve everything and work it out. It's just that this has become kind of a contentious distraction that's making
Yes.
everything harder.
So I have a question. Go ahead. When Nathan, Pam, what do you think the timeline is for realistically getting out a survey to membership and having that back to us?
Oh, I think we could do that by the next board meeting.
Great.
Okay. And
Nathan, do you agree or not agree? I mean, it's just sitting down and, working on it and getting it put out.
I think when we, in August, when we came on, the pile of projects we had was enormous. It is significantly lessened. I mean, we are getting through it. And I think that we have increasing amounts of bandwidth to give to this sort of thing when we're not worried about, are we able to pass a budget so that we can pay people, which is kind of like a more immediate thing. But I think Pam's accurate. I think we can get that done in October. I am interested though, surveys can be really, I don't know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like the questions that you want to answer are really important. And then I think like to some extent, we need to give some narrative opportunities for narrative responses. Because many people will be
Great.
like, yes, I think integration is great if such and
Yeah.
such. And we need to give people space to give those answers. But honestly, one of the problems you face, and this is common to all organizations, is that even when people have strong feelings about something, it can be hard to get them to give you those in writing and to get the answers that you want. But we're happy to try.
So, how best do you think that can happen? I mean, do you need input? Do you need a
Well,
little mini committee to help with that, or?
I think we need to know what questions are most pressing on your minds, and then we can translate that into questions, and then we can send it out to you. And you can't really communicate with each other, but you can
Yeah.
communicate with staff. That's how the list of go no-goes was generated. Was basically I sent out a survey to you. You each individually sent your answers to me without communicating with each other. And then I basically tallied, well, three people agreed with this. So, okay, that seems like a pretty strong opinion. So that's always the thing with the OPMA is we are required and obligated to not work together outside of meetings. So you're going to have to coordinate with Pam and myself to figure this out if you want to do it between board meetings. Or you could do it now. You could just tell us what questions you have and we can draft them. I mean, it's an important question. We want to accommodate this, and I'm sorry that we have not done it sooner. I know you guys probably get tired of the answer. Well, we're really busy, and I apologize.
I'd like some time to think about what sort of questions I'd like to ask. So I'd be happy to email them to you later this week.
How about if we, I don't know, we get you the questions by Friday at 5 and each of
Well,
us email you?
I'm not going to be doing anything with it over the weekend.
Right,
I'm
right.
working on
But yeah, well,
the
or
budget.
Monday at 9, I don't know, whatever. I'm just throwing something out there so we've got a specific plan about each of us, each of the commissioners, by Monday at 9?
I would need them midweek next week, because that's when I would be able to work on it. If you can remember to get them to me by Wednesday.
By Wednesday of next week.
If you need a sooner deadline so you don't forget and you have pressure to get it done, that's fine. But I won't touch it until Wednesday.
Okay. How about if we get it to you by Tuesday at 5?
Tuesday at 5. There you okay. go. And Pam, do you want me to do the survey then?
That's fine.
Everybody okay with that? Tuesday at 5? Is that reasonable? Okay.
That works for me, and I won't have anything to add because I feel like we already did this.
So you won't use the same questions I sent you guys, Kyle? Just use the same ones? We could certainly do that.
Yeah, I feel like we've gone through the exercise of identifying our concerns and the things that we need out of this, and so I just don't plan to add new ones now.
Well, these are questions.
I haven't heard
members.
Anything new.
This is a survey for members.
Oh, sorry, you're asking them.
Yeah. No, this is for our members, you know, the questions that we would like to see asked of our members on a survey about integration.
I would ask yes, no, conditional, and what's the condition? That's what I would do.
Okay, short and sweet. Put that down and email that to Nathan.
No.
I like that. Why don't we just do that? I'm fine with that. Yes, no, maybe, and what are your conditions? That's actually really good.
Well, you know, I'm good with that. Do you want it? Yes, no, maybe. And what are your conditions? Anybody want to chime in? Anybody else?
And I should say, by saying conditional, I wasn't necessarily saying like people get to dictate what happens, but if they are a maybe, why? Just want to make sure we understand why that is and if there are concerns that way.
Yes. And then people can have an opportunity to write whatever they wish, because I would like to read people's narratives. So, okay. Well, that was easy. So, Commissioner Clary, what do you think?
Yes, I agree. Sorry, I'll turn on the video. My bandwidth went all to heck here, so I turned off the video. Oh. I apologize for that. I know you don't need to see my smiling visage, but...
Okay, so do you want...
But I think that's great. Sweet and simple and no restrictions on what they say to us. Right. You know, really, I want to hear what they have to say.
Okay.
Always
should
have.
How hard should we try to preserve anonymity? I mean, should we set up like some kind of, do you want to really push?
I maybe they could just put it on a blank piece of paper and give it to you, Nathan, in an envelope.
You can put a box in the office or something so they don't have to actually give it to me.
I think anonymity is great. Yep.
Okay.
I don't know anybody's handwriting, so I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, as anonymous as it makes them feel comfortable, you know, as I mean, I actually don't care to know who says what, but whatever makes them comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Including cutting letters out of magazines.
Yeah.
They can type it out, print it out, bring it in or something, or mail it to us without a return address.
Do you want to know people's role? Who's filling it out or not?
No, that would be anonymous.
I don't think so.
No role. Like, what role do you play? Whether you're a volunteer, staff, or whatever. Mm-hmm. My thing is going wonky.
Okay.
And I do think, like, you know, we've talked about this many times, but we really need to think seriously about what it would take for you guys to move towards a decision. So we'll get this for you. And if there's something else that we can do to help facilitate this, please tell us. I'm not, you know, you guys can do whatever you want. I'm just saying it is hard when people just don't know what your plan is.
It really is. I agree.
It's really difficult. It's difficult for everyone. And I'm sure it's just an added layer of stress for everyone on staff. And I am sorry for it. I wish there was, that it wasn't the case. And I do think we owe it to our staff to respect them in this process. And I think that's where we've gotten held up. We just need a way to move forward constructively. I'm going to try to move this meeting forward a little bit.
Can I just ask a quick summary question on that?
Yeah.
A quick straw poll. It sounds like people are interested in continuing to investigate integration at this point. Is that right? That's all I want to know, because I think
yes.
that is something yes. that maybe has not been clear. And that
I am.
Okay.
I am.
That's Commissioner Lehman.
Yeah, I am too. Like I said, not at any cost, but yes, absolutely. I mean, we have to determine.
Yeah.
And we have to have somebody to work with. We have to have somebody to work with. That's the whole thing. I think we all like this idea, but we have to have somebody to work with in order to make this happen. We can't make it happen by ourselves.
And, you know, I don't think there's going to be some sort of big kumbaya moment where all of a sudden we're going to be, I think this is going to be a stepwise process. And I think it's going to be little steps. So maybe this joint response committee will be one. And if we can work together at any level, that'll help. And then we'll find more ways we can do it. And I think we're going to know actually fairly soon. I mean, within a few months, as to whether or not we're going to be able to work together or not. So I don't think the timeline is going to be really difficult.
The thing is, I don't know if you guys actually have to be able to work with them. I mean, basically, you need to decide if, respectfully, I don't know that it's necessarily important that you guys even have a good relationship with the fire district. The main question is, do you trust them with EMS, and what would it look like to integrate? I mean, that's the thing. If you can figure out the parameters of it, you can basically just stop worrying about it. If you can figure out how it's going to take place, it kind of...
How do we build that trust, Nathan, without any communication? We have to see something. I don't have to talk to them myself, but at least Pam has to be able to get that response that we need. Somebody, somehow we need to have people be able to work together and speak to each other. If people can't refuse to work with leadership at EMS, if fire refuses to work with leadership at EMS, that's a problem, right?
I think we can get the joint response committee up and going with the sheriff's department, us, and fire. I think all three organizations care about serving the community, and I think when those three all come together with this newer committee, that will show that we can work together. I think Everett's right. We will know that soon to get that going.
Great.
Kyle, you didn't answer your own question, and I'm curious to hear what you...
I'm still somewhat on the fence. I think I mentioned earlier that my concerns haven't really been addressed on the side of the fire district, but I also don't want to be patronizing. I need to make sure that the people who say have been insulted, or the people who would end up working in that sphere, I want to hear from them, because it wouldn't be me. Am I not on?
No, you're on.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard something. So that's where I am. I want to hear from others who would be more directly affected by it.
Mm-hmm. I guess for me, you know, I sort of agree with you. I just don't have the information that I've been asking for to actually help me make a decision. So that's part of where I'm at too, is like, I just need more information. So.
And I wasn't trying to ask whether we are definitely doing, I was asking, like, are we exploring this, because we've kind of had a hiatus after that meeting. And so just, are we moving forward, see if we can get that information. And then, as we discussed earlier, we can come up with some sort of deadline by which we would fully support it if we had the information that we are looking for, which we also may need to be responsible for creating in part, right?
Yep, absolutely. Okay, thank you for clarifying. I appreciate it. Do you think we could move on, guys? we had on the agenda to, I guess we've sort of encompassed three topics, which have been, you know, joint response with the fire district, integration, and we've touched on addressing the concerns raised by some of our membership. And, you know, we're all really interested in resolving all of these things. So, Pam, you wanted to touch on that last item.
Yes, I've talked to quite a few of the members of the agency, and it basically boils down to three areas that they were concerned about, and that's communication up and down the chain of command and just with each other at the organization, and about wanting to have a strong director of operations and logistics to come into the organization. A lot of our members feel that, you know, they're kind of waiting for that person before some of the other things are addressed, because they, you know, we don't want to just change something and then when that director of operations and logistics gets here and then they assess, you know, change it again relatively soon. So they are really interested in the interviewing and the hiring process, and that a strong director of operations is hired. And then the third thing was having more joint training with fire three, if we can. I know it's COVID and you can't, you don't have to do small things, but the ICS command system was addressed, but it's more in scenes, you know, to have more scenarios of types of things that would be addressed in accidents. We seem to have had lately a number of vehicle accidents, and used to before pre-COVID, you know, they would get a car and have, you know, a joint operation of doing that. That hasn't been able to happen with COVID, but just doing more types of scenarios and things with fire, especially since they are going out with this on almost every call. So those were the three things, and so that's what I'm focusing on, is trying to be more communicative with everyone, and I have an open door policy for them to come and talk to me about anything, and just being mindful of these things they're concerned about on an everyday basis.
Okay, great. We all share those same issues and concerns.
Can I just ask when the interviewing process starts for Director of Ops?
Yes. We are having a hiring committee meeting tomorrow at 4:00, hopefully, with whatever committee we have then. We still have two applicants, and so we'll try to come together as a committee and what we want to see in that process, and then start the interviews when everyone's comfortable.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Now, what we've all been waiting for, moving on to our budget. we have resolution 20-528, which is revised to revise the 2020 Salmon Island EMS budget. It's quite close to what it was, but the county didn't want the investment fund in the budget for. And so it requires a separate budget for the reserve fund. And we hadn't done this before, so we had to change it from the last resolution based on this. And as we had talked about, it sounds like someone's doing dishes. Does anybody else hear that? It's really funny.
I do, and I did want to say that if people feel free to mute if you're drinking things or mixing a drink. I thought I heard a little mixing, you know, mixing it or something like that. I know it is almost 7:00, but we don't all need to hear it.
Thank you. So we did, since we had to revise the budget, and we are looking at the new ambulance in 2021, we moved it to there anyway, because we won't actually have the new ambulance till then, and we won't be paying till then. So this resolution approves both the general fund and the reserve fund budgets. So if there is, did everyone have time to look over the revised budget, and are there any questions for Pam and Nathan, who have put in a ton of time on this in the last month? Sounds like we're good. This is when I will entertain a motion, guys.
Move to approve the amended budget.
Thank you.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Unanimous, thank you. And now we'll move on to, and thank you, Pam and Nathan, for your work on that.
Yeah, I'm sorry we had to redo that.
No, it's great. We
just restarted that reserve budget this year in the middle of the year. And so anyway, it is what it is, but thank you and sorry.
I really appreciate all the work you've done. I like the way it's laid out. I'm so glad we have a capital equipment improvement plan. These are things that needed to happen. And I like being able to see what we expect to look like in 5 years. It's excellent. So on to new business, and we touched on this earlier, the potential sale of Hospice of the Northwest. I know Trish has been really involved in this week, and this is her third hospital board meeting today to that point. I think Everett has weighed in, and I know that Gail has things to share on this issue as well. So I'll hand it over to the three of you.
Yes, as we heard from Catherine Clary, Hospice of the Northwest was approached by, well, actually, I don't think it was Hospice of the Northwest, the CEO of Skagit Regional Hospital and the CEO of United General Hospital, who in joint venture own Hospice of the Northwest. So those are two separate hospital districts that own Hospice of the Northwest, were approached over a year ago by Bristol Corporation. And the staff have just found out about it within the last 2 weeks and are absolutely dismayed. The managers at Hospice of the Northwest all had to sign non-disclosure agreements to not discuss about it, but somehow it got leaked out 2 weeks ago. And quite honestly, I'm grateful that it did get leaked out, because the public needs to be made aware of this. And there is a change.org petition that has, I may be wrong on this, but I want to say it might be up to 1,600 signatures against the sale of this. Bristol Corporation is owned by a parent company called Webster Financial. And when I went to their website, their mission statement is to deliver superior returns to our partners, their investors, which is absolutely not patient-centered. Bristol, I believe, has an ulterior motive to buy Northwest. I think they desperately want Hospice of the Northwest, because Hospice of the Northwest holds four different certificates of need. These are Medicare certificates of need to be able to provide hospice in Snohomish County, Skagit County, Island County, and San Juan County. And their specialty is end-stage dementia care. And I'll be very frank and blunt here. That is because it is a cash cow. And I do not mean in any way to demean end-stage patients and people with end-stage dementia, because it is a devastating disease. And God knows, we need to provide the most compassionate, loving care till the end of life for anyone. But people who are in that kind of a vulnerable situation, I believe, are taken advantage of by, this is a national trend to focus on memory care facilities, skilled nursing facilities with end-stage dementia patients, because they are the least expensive to take care of. They are the least complicated in terms of symptom management. And in Snohomish County in particular, the Medicare reimbursement rate is $23 more per day than our county, for instance. So this is a way for them to get in and make a lot of money. A nurse can go to a nursing home and see 6 or 8 patients in one day very easily in a facility. I've done it. I've gone not 6 or 8 patients, but I've seen perhaps 2 on the mainland when I was working. And these are folks who are non-communicative by and large. And so your assessment time is very minimal. They don't usually have complex needs as people with cancers and pulmonary disease and ALS and heart failure and so forth. So they put their focus on the easiest patients with the making the most money. So there's no question that if Hospice of the Northwest were to be sold to Bristol, that we will get our care out here in San Juan County will be deeply affected. And so I've been on warpath, but I've been very involved with a whole group of people. We've been having Zoom meetings and Save Hospice of the Northwest because the staff is devastated, as they should be, because Hospice of the Northwest was voted number one healthcare facility to work at in the nation in 2018. They come out, they're like number one in their surveys. They are stellar. They set a model for the nation. And we're told by the CEO, Brian Ivey, of Skagit Regional Hospital that, oh, they're going to provide you cutting edge leadership and we can't provide you the leadership that they can. Well, Hospice of the Northwest already has stellar leadership under the direction of Bob Laws, who's the executive director. And I will tell you what we're going to get out here, I know it, is the minimal care, which means not a nurse every week, but a nurse every other week, which is what Medicare requires minimally. And we won't probably have the hospice medical director availability because they hire contracted hospice medical directors who maybe work 20 hours a week for an enormous number of patients, whereas we have a full-time hospice medical director on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And we get exquisite care. And I'm devastated by this. So I have spoken publicly at the Skagit Regional Hospital board meeting. I have also talked about my experience working for Island Hospital Home Health, which was a not-for-profit, and they sold that agency to a for-profit home health entity. And it's been a real challenge. And delivering care out here has been a real challenge for the staff. They're on their fourth RN in 3 years, and the first three have burned out because of pressures for increased productivity, for not getting the support they need right now. And I understand he's doing a great job. I've never met him. His name is Max, but he was a brand new RN at nursing school who was hired to be the home health nurse out in the San Juan Islands. Well, you're a lone ranger out here. I did it for 13 years. You are on your own in these homes, and you have to draw on your experiences. And a brand new nurse right out of nursing school, that's mm-hmm. an enormous pressure and challenge. And this is what's going to happen with hospice, because I will promise you the wages are going to go down. Hospice of the Northwest, all their RNs are part of the Washington State Nurses Association Union, and they make very competitive wages, and that's not going to happen with Bristol. So I think as commissioners, and Catherine Clary did ask us to do this, I think we need to write a letter that all of us sign if in fact you all oppose the sale of Hospice of the Northwest. I think commissioners to commissioners is a pretty powerful statement. And so for us,
Trish,
to send a
can I ask you what the responses from the boards were? Are there people standing with the people that are saying this isn't a good idea? What do the boards look like?
Well, today at noon, I spoke with the Island Hospital commissioners. Now, they have nothing to do with Hospice of the Northwest, except that it does affect their community. They were blown away, upset. One of them said, "My heart is broken." They thanked. There was another social worker from Hospice of the Northwest and me. We were the only two that talked about this. They asked us questions. They wanted to know more information. I had already gotten the name of the president, board president, and emailed him a lot of information. And they were so grateful that we brought this to their attention. And they're going to make phone calls and write letters, and they seem to be very opposed to it.
What's your sense of the two boards that are in the possibly selling? Are they really for this sale?
You know,
all of them?
They didn't give their opinion. Did you get that, Everett? That you got any feedback about opinions from the United General Board Commissioners?
No, I didn't get any sense whatsoever. But then, you know, I have to say the same thing of us. We sit and listen to public opinion and we don't give any feedback to the people who express their opinions. And maybe we're failing to do something then.
But we talk about the issue. They would know what we thought about the issue because then we talk about it at our board meeting. So did they not discuss their thoughts at all about it? It hasn't been on topic.
They were not discussing it.
I did understand that one of the groups, because we got the recording of it afterwards, I didn't sit through their whole, because the 8 a.m. meeting on Friday was a four-hour meeting from 8 to 12, Skagit Regional Hospitals meeting, so I did not sit through that. But we did get recordings of it sent to us by some of the staff, hospice staff. And they were, you know, kind of grateful. I think what the feedback was, they were really grateful that the public really spoke out. And but not like, oh, we think this is a bad idea or a good idea. Whereas today at Island Hospital, you know, I was getting real honest feedback and they weren't very pleased. I also called and spoke with Brian Ivey, the CEO of Skagit Regional Skagit Valley Hospital, and he guaranteed me this was not financially driven, because I said, I just like some honest answers. You know, I can't imagine your hospital hasn't struggled with COVID and that you're losing money. And he said, I'm actually proud of how Skagit Hospital's done. We've done very well. And he said, this is not a financial decision. And then I say, well, why would you sell Hospice of the Northwest then? And I believe this pretty strongly, that I don't think the CEO of Skagit Regional Hospital, I don't think that he really wants to be bothered with Hospice the Northwest. I think it's like a square peg fitting into a round hole, that hospice doesn't really fit their inpatient model, doesn't fit their outpatient model, and the hospice is kind of like this anomaly out here, and gee, we've got to bother with them as a board, and why do we want to bother with them, even though we're profitable? And I keep saying we, I mean, I still feel a part of them, but they've been profitable, and they've been growing their census, and they set a national standard in hospice care. So, you know, I'd like to have that as part of our maybe the letter we send out, is to say, please explain to us why you would sell this stellar organization that provides exquisite care to our communities.
Can I ask something?
Yep.
Pam, or anyone, has anyone spoken with Ann Presson, who is the superintendent on Lopez and Orcas, about this? And are her boards aware of this? That will have huge impact, you know, for them, not just San Juan Island, obviously, because, you know, these are services that, you know, for end of life care that we all need.
Yes, I can answer that. I talked to Ann Presson for an hour today. Their boards are becoming aware of it. Deborah O'Connor, who is the Hospice of the Northwest nurse on Orcas Island, has been very vocal. She's reaching out to the local newspapers, and she's talked to Ann Presson, and she is, well, I think you might know Deborah. Gail, she's involved in, well,
she's sent things around. Yeah.
She's a shaker and a mover. Deborah is. So we're just trying to drum up as much awareness and bring people into becoming aware of this
and get people involved. Yeah.
And so get people involved. Yeah, write letters, because this is a marathon, not a sprint. They have said that there isn't a decision that's been made. And quite frankly, I would like them to call the whole thing off. I see no reason for them to pursue this any further. Are there
only a few certificates of need that are available within the county, and that's why Bristol wants them so they can do that Medicare billing?
They applied for and got turned down in 5 counties in Washington State. They want Washington State, and they particularly want Snohomish County, and I'm sure they'd like to get into King County because those are very lucrative counties for them to be in. So,
but is it just that there's already dementia care there and they don't need it?
They've got these fancy names for these programs for their dementia care, and I don't know the names of them, but honestly, it's their narrative that they're, spinning. It's their way. And mark my word, it won't be too long. And I'm sure Medicare is watching this like a hawk because it's a national trend. This is just reeks of the potential for Medicare fraud, because it does. When you're working with patients who don't even know necessarily that you are even visiting them, their families aren't necessarily with them when you're visiting them. It's ripe for fraud. And so it's a big moneymaker. And there was an article that came out in the Skagit Herald. And I have a quote here from Roy Graves, who's a retired ER physician. And he sits on the ethics board for Hospice of the Northwest. And he says, it's hard to imagine that you can take a functioning system, take money out for shareholders, and still provide the same services. And that says it in a nutshell. It's not going to happen.
Do you know the asking price? Like when stock
in dollars yet. We don't know.
And I wonder if it's something that, all of the public hospital boards in these 4 counties could go together and purchase it.
Well, here's the thing.
They really must sell it if that's really part.
They don't need to sell it. We provide them with a small profit. And part of also the profit we make goes back into the community. So there's no need. I mean, 2 hospital districts already own it. I would ask, and I'd love to call, and I might, if I have the emotional energy to call Brian Ivey and say, I'd really like you to do some soul searching about why you really want to sell this agency. And, be honest, if it's just something that you don't want to deal with.
Well, potentially he could sell it to Island Hospital. Potentially the Island Hospital Public District could possibly take it on if he's tired, if he doesn't want to have it. So it depends on what United General wants to do. So there are other options, I suppose. But yes, I think we should write a letter. And I think you'd be a great person to add, Trish, and we can pass it around and have input.
Do all of you feel, with the information I've given you, that you would oppose the sale of this, of Hospice of the Northwest, to a for-profit corporation?
Absolutely. Our focus as a board is aging in place and providing services to our seniors so they can stay in their homes. And this is exactly...
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is part of the long-term care in our community. It's the end of long-term care. In addition to that, one of the things that we haven't mentioned is that Bristol can actually say no to certain types of hospice patients, like pediatric hospice patients, certain types. They can say, sorry, we don't take care of those kinds, whereas Hospice of the Northwest essentially takes everybody.
Everybody.
But Bristol can say no. Sorry, you don't qualify, which is unheard of, that the kind of experience that Catherine had, somebody out of her with her dad who was not eligible for hospice care. In addition to that, Bristol doesn't support death with dignity, which is pretty serious. There are some really serious problems with that particular sale, and aside from the fact that they're for profit. So I absolutely am against the sale to Bristol.
Okay, Trish, would you spearhead writing a letter and get that to and Pam, so we can all wait a moment.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'll totally
thank
do
you
that.
So
thank
much.
You. As long as I have everyone's agreement that you would oppose the sale of this. Because that's
Commissioner Lehman, this is Commissioner Loring. If you can figure out why this is happening, that would be very helpful. I'll be honest. Well, I can see a lot of concerns about it, but the why is pretty important when you're asking somebody to do or not do something.
Mm-hmm. And I've been asking and
I know it sounds like it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I've been listening. I appreciate that you have been.
I want to know the why too.
You can dig in and find somebody who seems to know, because if it's a financially positive operation, I'd be curious to know why somebody's trying to get rid of it.
When I asked Brian Ivey that, he said, well, number one, we have a responsibility to explore. We have a responsibility to explore our hospice being bought by a company that does nothing but hospices. One of the things he said is they will provide better leadership than you're getting from us right now, because we're not hospice. You know, we don't know anything about hospice. And, and I think this is all just spin, because this is hearsay and gossip, but I will share it because it was given to me by a very reliable source, who has a friend who's involved in what's called the C-suite. Now, I'd never heard of what the C-suite, C like Charlie Dash suite, like honeymoon suite.
Commissioner, I'm sorry to interrupt. I didn't mean that we need to necessarily head down. I feel like we've covered this topic really well so far tonight. But if you can find a way to understand, that'd be great. Thanks. Sorry.
I just need some black ops people to, you know, put some cameras in and little microphones in offices, and then we could find out the truth.
It's extremely concerning. So. Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry, I probably...
No, thank you. And I can, you know, it's wonderful to see how passionate you are about this. It is so important. And thank you, Trish. And thank you, Everett, for weighing in on that.